It's the Clefo Kishi and Soko Yuck Hour, also known as Infield Chatter, but I kind of like that name a little better. But we already have a logo, so...
Well, I feel like we get a new logo to go with that.
I think we should go for it.
Quality of title and quality of show.
Yes. I could do it in MS Paint with the fill tool and
You gotta save it as a bitmap though.
Yeah.
And then you gotta take a screenshot of it and save that screenshot as a JPEG.
And then, but it also needs to be like way too small, like a 100 by 100 pixel, and then we just blow it up into a larger size.
Yep. Yeah, so it just looks kind of like a magic eye puzzle.
Exactly.
Get on it.
Yeah. So, it's Friday night around 8:30. Right now, the Diamondbacks are playing the Reds. They are up 1-0. Fox Sports Arizona just tweeted out the "Wasn't over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor" reference from Animal House, and invariably, whenever you tweet that, people do not get the reference because duh. I'm sorry, that's a weird like thing that always kind of gets me riled up. Not that you have or haven't seen Animal House, because, you know, people like different movies. It's like, duh, everyone knows Japan bombed Pearl Harbor. You should be able to figure out, oh, there's some joke here.
What? What? No, jokes on the internet? That isn't, no, I'm sorry, the internet is serious business, okay?
Always serious.
We do not joke about it.
No.
No.
Yeah. Anyway, they just tweeted out, it appears some of you have never seen Animal House. Thanks for making us feel old. See?
That took less than 5 minutes.
It did. And it's that's like, that should seriously be a rule of the internet. Know what you're getting into if you make that reference. Because people like to feel smart about stuff, but then, you know, maybe they go too far. I don't know. Anyway, so yeah, in the past week since we last joined you, the Diamondbacks
they played some baseball,
as they do. What kind of baseball did they play? That's a good question. I'm sounding like a 10th grader who was just doing the bare minimum trying to pad an essay to 500 words.
Libya has many exports, including corn, or as the Indians called it, maize.
There are many factors into the maize exports of Libya.
Webster's Dictionary defines maize as...
In conclusion, Libya is a land of contrast.
Yes, land of contrast, that's what I was about to say. Because I may have written one or two of those papers before, but... Hey, no hate.
You do what you gotta do.
Mm-hmm. So since we last recorded, technically the Diamondbacks went 2-4, technically, because they split against the Nationals and lost the Saturday and Sunday games against the Astros, but overall they had a road trip that was... I can't talk today. Okay. They had a road trip that was 6-4, which is like, hey, that's successful, right? Right.
It's not bad. It's, you know what? It's a winning road trip. You take what you can get.
Yeah. Exactly. If you don't like that, no, you can just get out.
Yeah.
If you don't like that, then I think you're setting your sights too high to be a Diamondbacks fan this season. And I'm sorry, that's just
probably,
the truth.
Or probably a baseball fan in general.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, I mean, even like, say, the Cardinals, if they had a 6-4 road trip, their fans would be pretty happy. Because they had a 6-4 road trip the right way.
Unless it was the Arizona Cardinals, then they would be confused.
Yeah, because you generally don't play
10 road games.
Ten road games, period, let alone 10 in a row.
Yeah.
But if they did and they went 6-4, That'd be pretty awesome.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the circumstances would be odd, but you know, don't look at Kid Forrest in the mouth.
No.
Hey.
Yep. I generally try not to look Peyton Manning in the mouth.
Look, I'm sorry. You can't even pretend that he's the most horse-mouthed quarterback in Broncos history.
Yeah, I was gonna
say. No, he's not. He really isn't because, yeah.
He's not even, yeah. No, that's, mm-mm. you can't play it that way.
No.
The Broncos.
Yeah.
But yeah,
they also had Shannon Sharp.
Yeah. Well, he was more of a Mike a Mushmouth sort of guy, because you heard him on, like, TV. He was just sort of, like, talk very, very fast. And it's like, did he say something about, like, did he say something about lizard people? What?
All about the lizard people.
Always comes back to them.
Yeah. Hashtag lizard truth. So anyway, yeah, the Diamondbacks had a 6-4 road trip, and they played, well, two pretty good teams? Well, one pretty good team, and that was the team they kind of lost to, because the Nationals, I said it in my recap last Monday, the Nationals somehow reverse low bets as a thing. Like,
mm-hmm.
They are collapsing in, like, a epic 2008 Diamondbacks sort of way, and...
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of fun to rubberneck, like a wildfire that just might be a little too close.
I mean, they technically the Astros are a good team this year too.
Oh yeah, that's the one good team who I was mentioned.
Oh okay. Oh my mistake. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Obviously, I'm confusing things.
Yeah, the Mariners not so good. The Astros good. The Nationals.
They're at least in second place.
Well, the Diamondbacks were kind of tied for second at one point, so, I mean, that's all relative. Yeah.
But
at any point recently?
No.
Define recently.
In the past 2 months.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Were they?
Yeah, when they hit Mount 500.
Oh. I thought that wasn't going to be a thing.
Yeah. Oh, it's a thing.
No,
and I mainly remember it because I thought to myself, I'm going to troll the shit out of the snake pit by writing an article comparing the team to the 2007 and 2011 Diamondbacks, implying that they were going to make the playoffs, and then they promptly dropped like 3 straight games before I could even write the article. So I was like, well, that one got that was, thrown out.
That was inconsiderate of them. Come on, Diamondbacks.
It was.
Yeah. They probably, someone probably has, like, hacked into, like, your mind or the snake pit editorial tab or some
kind of... Or the Astros mainframe.
Yeah. And someone, of course, said, I'm in, because you have to do that
mm-hmm.
whilst hacking into a mainframe. Otherwise, yeah. You're not doing it, right?
Right, with a graphical user interface.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm pointing and clicking in this hacking system.
Yes, yes, yes.
And then I'm rolling up my laundry. Life hack.
Someone tweeted, I can't remember who, because, you know, sometimes Twitter kind of just melts together into some amorphous blob, but someone tweeted out, like, something like, life hack, say something as... Seems like sage advice by adding the word life hack after it.
I do recall seeing that retweeted, but I do not recall who said it.
Yeah.
Life hack. Don't remember who said it, just pretend it was you and take credit for it.
That works.
Yeah.
Life hack. Use SQL injunctions on websites to access their private databases.
I see what you did there. Or did I?
I don't know.
I'm in. anyway, but yeah, the Diamondbacks, again, there is a certain point where it's kind of hard to say at this point what's with the team, because with baseball, you know, you have the sort of constant always season, you know, from April to beginning of October and beyond for some other lucky bastards, but anyway, the, what was I going to say? Yeah, the, you know, it's a better team than last year, and that's nice to have because, you know, makes things a little more enjoyable when you could go sure. into any given night where it's like, oh, maybe they won't suck today.
Right. Because what else am I going to do with my summers? Go outside?
Ugh, no.
No. Not going to happen.
Yep.
I just derailed your thought, didn't I?
Maybe a little, but I'm derailing my own thoughts because I don't know.
Buffalo wings, here we come.
Oh yeah, buffalo wings. So what is your favorite thing to dip buffalo wings in?
Ranch is my go-to, but I love blue cheese, so I will definitely do the blue cheese thing. I mean, between the two of those, I will just kind of roll with whatever it is they give me. Because I think everybody knows my love of ranch dressing. I'll dip just about anything in ranch dressing. But I really do like blue cheese a lot. So
yeah,
I swing both ways. I'm by dressing.
I'm pan dressing because you can have your blue cheese, you can have your ranch. There's other stuff too. Like
what about Italian?
I sometimes mix ranch and blue cheese, so I guess I'm not cross dressing. Hold on.
What?
That, I was trying to make a dumb joke. It didn't work.
Because the volume went, like, way down, so I didn't even... I heard something about mixing things.
You'll listen to it on the tape on Sunday or something. I don't know.
Hey, someone just hit a home run.
Hooray!
Hooray!
Oh, hey, Wellington Castillo.
Beef.
Did you know that A-Team willingly gave up a live body for Mark Trumbo?
Yeah.
Isn't that goddamn hilarious?
Yeah.
That worked out for us.
Yeah, especially since everybody, not everybody, but certain people were shitting on that trade at the time because they're like...
And I think we talked about this on a way previous episode of the podcast. The people who were, that at least from my viewpoint, the people who were kind of doing that were not people who I would imagine had followed the Diamondbacks closely within the past year and a half.
Well, no, there were also Diamondbacks fans, though, that were just basically like, LOL, Dave Stewart realized he needed a catcher, so he just went out and found a body. And then beef has been pretty good for us, so...
I still can't get behind the beef nickname, though. I am okay with...
Where's the beef?
Yes, of course, because nicknames you can't get behind are famously coherent.
Well, maybe that's his problem. Yeah. Maybe his problem is that this one is too coherent.
Yeah. So you need some middle ground, I guess.
I think our nickname for this guy should be Roll Dice Randomly. North Star.
North Star?
Yes.
Okay. I can do that. Can I still call him Beef though sometimes?
I guess, but I mean, not like enthusiastic.
Can I call him Beef, comma the North Star?
No, I would prefer that the other way around. North Star Beef, maybe.
No, I think there has to be both a comma and a the in there for maximum effect. That's his unicorn name. North Star the Beef.
North Star the Beef.
North Star the Beef. Sounds like a badly translated sort of anime title. like North Star is fine, but the beef is in Japanese. Right. In Japanese or something, it has more of a.
It's like a homophone pun.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That makes me wonder.
Wait a minute. The Giants just put Mike Leake on the DL.
Didn't they just trade for him?
Yeah, apparently.
Oh, that's hilarious.
That is pretty funny.
Mm-hmm. And where did Mike Leake go to college?
The Arizona State University?
Rather than an Arizona State University, of which there are three.
Yeah, exactly.
That's true.
He went to the one that's called Arizona State University.
Right. And yeah, state universities, they're fine, because you know who went to Harvard? Tekezinski.
Bill Gates for, like, a semester?
The Facebook guy. Why can't I remember his name? Zuckerberg. Yeah. Wow. How did I blank on
Zuckerberg, yeah.
Yeah, how did I blank on that?
Conan O'Brien.
Whereas you famous alumnus of various Arizona State schools include, say, Mike Leake.
Andre Ethier.
if you want to go down south, Greg Kinnear.
Linda Carter.
Yeah.
David Spade.
Eli Manning.
sure, yeah.
Let's see who Northern Arizona has. Diana Gabaldon.
Oh yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yeah. Paul Ernster.
Since I don't work there anymore, I guess I can say that story. One time when I was working at a bookstore, she came in and bought one of her books, and I was really confused. I was like, shouldn't you get this stuff for free? But I didn't say anything because I didn't want to make it weird.
I'm looking at a Wikipedia page right now for U of A anyway. Don Knotts. Well, you see, sometimes you gotta bear down. Oh, that's a terrible impression.
No, you should keep going with that one.
Yeah, no, I think just keep at it.
He's dead, so who cares? David Foster Wallace.
I forgot about that, but now I remember. That's where he went for his MFA.
Yeah. Geraldo Rivera. Oh God.
I'm not sure if ASU has anyone as problematic as that. We might. But
I mean,
can't think of any. Except maybe Barry Bonds, maybe.
But that's like different.
Yeah, it's a different kind of problematic. Depends on how like old school baseball fan you are, I suppose.
Various one presidential candidate, Barry Goldwater.
Went to U of A?
Oh, two of them. Bob Dole as well.
Bob Dole?
So if you want to lose a presidential election,
go to
the University of Arizona.
Well, that should be obvious. I mean, isn't it kind of their MO to lose big games?
I'm sorry. I seem to... I don't know. I don't keep track of this stuff.
ASU's MO is to not play in big games.
That's fair. Anyway, we went off tangent. So Buffalo Wings.
get back to the important
thing. See, we're on a side street now, but not back on the main highway. I like Buffalo Wings sometimes.
Is there a flavor of Buffalo Wing that you wouldn't eat besides Cincinnati chili flavored?
Well, I mean, are we talking about, like, when we talk about Buffalo Wings, are we talking about, like, just straight buffalo? Like
buffalo sauce?
Or, like, are we
expecting... I have enough room in my heart for queer buffalo wings.
Well, like,
I believe it's actually, it's your heart that your doctor would like to talk to you about when it comes to buffalo wings.
If I go through, like, your standard Buffalo Wild Wings flavors, because you know you expect lots of places to have the same variant of flavors.
Uh-huh.
And I've already got the website up. I'm looking at their list to see what they've got. So,
There's nothing really that I want to at least try once. There's no like Arby's flavor. I wouldn't go like way too hot. Like the sort of hot sauces that like a drop of it is like $50 and like you only have it because it's so hot, whereas if you actually try to eat it, your tongue will literally melt off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm fine with spicy, but
yeah,
I don't really need to make it into a contest.
Yeah, there's the difference.
Once the burn is the primary flavor.
Yeah.
Well, because heat is not a flavor.
Exactly.
Well, but I mean, not necessarily the flavor, but the primary, like,
sensation or the reason. Yeah, the reason. There's a fancy word for a reason that I can't think of, but whatever.
But yeah, no. I mean, then on the other end, I'm not entirely sure about their salt and vinegar seasoning on buffalo wings, but, you know, whatever. Whatever makes
sense. That does seem kind of weird, but it doesn't seem too outlandish, though.
Yeah. Native New Yorker has one called Strawberry Hot.
Hmm.
Which I feel like I'd give a try, but that sounds really weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's see. I'm looking up strange flavors of buffalo wings and seeing if I can. Basil pesto. I don't know if that needs to be a thing. I mean, I don't think of that as wings.
But again, that's not like an outlandish flavor for something meaty.
Rally squirrel, caramel and peanuts.
Okay.
I don't think it actually contains squirrel in the flavor.
Well, what the hell is wrong with them?
Probably local food regulations, I would guess.
What about coffee and horseradish?
Yeah, no.
I'd give it a shot.
Well, I'm about to have a very bad opinion, but I really don't like coffee, like, at all. I mean, my close friends know this about me, but... and horseradish, that's an Arby's thing, and our opinions on Arby's are very well documented.
Okay.
Hold on. Arby's does not corner the market on horseradish.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, there's horseradish is pretty good.
Yeah.
Did you say horsey sauce? I don't know.
No, I didn't say horsey sauce. I said horseradish.
Well, screw you.
All right. I've got this one here. These are called hate wings from someplace in Buffalo. These medium-based wings, which are actually made with white Zinfandel and cinnamon.
So, are these hate wings, like, their dedication to their local football team?
It could be.
Well, I do remember there used to be a place in Tucson. I forgot what it was called. It's not there anymore, obviously. It's a weird sandwich shop now. But they would had, like, well, their spicy hot, like, overwhelming wing flavor is called Suicide Wings, which is like, oh, that's cheerful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I actually had a bite, and yeah, that's a good title.
I'm reading this article. It's 9 super unique chicken wing flavors to try in Western New York, and I feel like they are. I feel like they're not necessarily, like, they're kind of overestimating what's super unique, because it includes things like honey mustard wings.
Okay, but consider that in Western New York, they take their wings kind of seriously.
Teriyaki wings?
Yeah. Like, to them, because they don't call them buffalo wings there. They call them hot wings.
Well, they've, yeah, I don't know.
And so for most people in that area, it's going to be...
Okay, but here's an entry on the list. Hot wings. Nothing fancy here.
Just hot wings.
So it doesn't seem like they're super unique by the definition of...
No.
Yeah, what they're going
for. It's like someone came up with an idea and started writing it, and then about halfway through, they gave up.
Like,
I certainly never done that.
Nope.
Peanut butter and jelly wings?
Ugh.
I'm going to a different article.
Ugh.
Prosciutto wrapped wings wrapped in bacon jam.
Ugh.
I'm sorry, doused in bacon jam, by mistake. Yeah.
It didn't get any better.
Yeah.
What about lead flavored wings?
I'll have to pass.
Grilled maple mustard chicken wings. Okay, see, I'm actually starting to make myself hungry.
Okay, but what about Aunt Jemima?
Excuse me, I'm sorry. Let me just actually read the next one on this list. waffle-wrapped bacon chicken wings drizzled with maple syrup.
I was going to say, if chicken and waffles is a thing, then...
Yeah.
Okay, but why don't we upgrade it and get the fancy stuff and get some Aunt Jemima on there?
Ooh, yeah.
You know, oh, man, no. I'm sorry.
maple syrup snobbery.
Yeah, Devin, you were at my house, and you ate Mrs. Buttersworth.
I ate pancakes, but I will admit I am a maple syrup snob, which is why if you go into my kitchen, there is a bottle of Mrs. Butterworth's that my wife has and a bottle of maple syrup that I use.
Yeah, but you ate your pancakes with Mrs. Buttersworth.
And I did not complain. I will eat it.
You were a good guest.
Yeah.
So yeah, buffalo wings. If you're listening now, you should go to your local buffalo wing eatery and eat some. Or don't.
Right.
Don't listen to me. Live your own damn life.
Yep. To get the authentic experience, though, you have to get some, like, Iron City beer or something crappy like that, and then, or Labatt's Blue, and then cry into it over your local sports team.
So transitioning back to a Diamondbacks topic, this was asked by Guru B in the Game Day thread. It was something like, oh, we probably should have hit on this last week, but...
I'm sorry, what kind of a podcast do you think this is?
We were too busy getting off topic. What was that?
What was what?
I guess, there was this weird kind of creaking noise.
Yeah.
Or something.
Oh, I'm leaning back in my chair.
So oh.
I do that. Sorry. I shouldn't do that. anyway, from Guru B, he asks, basically, what was your favorite Randy Johnson memory?
My favorite Randy Johnson memory? Well, I mean, I feel like I'm just going to automatically disqualify the, I feel like the obvious choice is, Game 7 of the World Series, because that was pretty great.
The first thing that pops in my head is always going to be the pigeon incident.
That's true.
Think about the confluence of events, because that's what I was going to say. But think about the confluence of events that had to make that happen.
Yeah.
Like just that pigeon flying by at that time. That place and that shitty stadium built in a part of town nobody likes to go to.
Tucson, you mean?
Well, that...
I believe that's all of Tucson.
It wouldn't be this podcast if we didn't crap on Tucson.
I'm sorry, what were you saying about Clerics of Scottsdale in the pre-show earlier?
Yeah. It's awful.
But yes... Yeah, I just the sort of random confluence of events that made that happen, and the fact that it was Randy Johnson, it feels like it wouldn't have been as like momentous if it was, say, I don't know, Brian Anderson or something.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like the him versus John Kruk in the All-Star Game incident, where it just kind of sums up the public persona that people had of Randy Johnson.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of pitchers, it would have seemed like, oh man, that was a weird accident. But with Randy Johnson, there's a little bit of like, in your mind, you think Randy Johnson's like, I'm coming for the rest of you birds if you don't stay out of my way.
Yeah. Like, what did that bird do to him? Did the bird owe him money?
It knew.
Bird made fun of him in grade school.
Yeah.
He'd been planning that entire time. Yeah. No, but I mean, there's a lot of really great moments of Randy Johnson's career, like, you know, his perfect game or 20 strikeouts and 20 strikeout game. That
Or that time he went to the Giants to win 300 games, or the time he pushed at that New York photographer after he got traded to the Yankees.
That was pretty great, yeah.
It was.
The time he closed out the game at the end of Little Big League.
Yeah. That time when he was one of the Monstars in Space Jam.
The time when he was in that tracking shot in Goodfellas.
Yeah.
That time when he dunked on Godzilla.
Yep. That was a good one.
Yeah.
That time when he played the one of the synth parts in that Yes song. Oh crap, what's that Yes song? Balls.
Owner of a Lonely Heart?
Yes, that one.
He did the big hit after the chorus, the bear.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, like the time he like the time he told Van Halen to hire Gary Cherone.
No, that's a terrible moment. Bad Randy Johnson. Bad.
Well, you know, he had his fingers too, you know. He gotta go to the best. Something I remember about when he went to the Giants at the end of his career for last season, there was a commercial for I think it was one of the MLB baseball games, either the 2K or the show series, one of those, because those were the only two for a bit, so.
Mm-hmm.
It was, like, with Tim Lincecum, and then there was, like, a CGI Tim Lincecum, like, from the game. Like, Tim Lincecum was, like, showing him, like, the... It was kind of a weird premise, like, showing
it,
the...
It was like he was training his in-game avatar.
Yeah, like, one of the things was, like, the CGI Tim Lincecum was singing along to Dance All Days by Wang Chung, and Tim Lincecum was like, no. And one of the things I remember is, like, they were in the locker room, and then there's this nude from, you can only see from the waist up, obviously, this nude cyber Tim Lincecum, and then Randy Johnson comes by and just says in, like, this deadpan, like, you should put a towel on.
What?
Oh, I'll see if I can find the commercial. I'll send it to you guys later, a link to it in the thing. Oh yeah, MLB 2K9 commercial. I'll link it to you guys, but it's worth watching just for that deadpan you should put a towel on line. But yeah, that was a thing.
Wow.
Oh yeah, but
it was a crazy time.
The 2000s.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Thanks, Obama.
Anyway, excuse me. I coughed, as one does, because thanks, Obama.
It happens.
Yeah. So let's look ahead a little to next week and whatever off-topic weirdness evolves from there.
Actually, wait. Can I actually talk about one of my favorite Randy Johnson memories?
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Sorry.
Because actually, now that I remember it, one of my favorite Randy Johnson memories, because I feel like it sums up so much about his time in the with the Diamondbacks,
mm-hmm.
is his last start with the Diamondbacks, playing against the Rockies. He pitches a complete game, only gives up one run, which he gave up in the first inning, and the only reason he got the win was because the Rockies walked in the go-ahead run in the bottom of the ninth with two outs.
Nice.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Was that in 2004 or in...
No, that was 2008.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we didn't have to well actually you on that. That's good.
No, I was just curious which time he announced.
Well, actually, it was when he was pitching against the Germans.
Fun fact.
Yeah.
Das Rockies.
But anyway, yeah, no, sorry, you can go ahead with what you were going to talk about, which I'm sure was really exciting and important.
So let's talk about economic conditions in... 18th century Spain. Now, if you look at these charts here...
Really?
Oh, no. Somebody's really excited over this.
Shit. 18th century Spanish economy.
Well, I mean, I think that's actually... It'd be interesting because, I mean, the 18th century was kind of a whole period of turmoil across Europe, especially as it expanded into the New World.
There were many factors for...
We're not talking about maize here, Charlie. Anyway.
No, I was going to say, let's look ahead a little to next week's Diamondbacks games and talk about the teams they're going to play. There are many factors in the teams they're going to play, i.e. the schedule at this point in time. I can't really control that.
So I guess it's really just the one factor.
The singular factor, yes. So next week there are, after this series against the Reds, there are three games against the Phillies, who have been playing well for some reason since the All-Star break, but not well enough to really do anything about it because their first half was terrible. I say that even though the last time they played the Diamondbacks, they swept the Diamondbacks.
Yeah. Okay, their first half was terrible, but was it 76ers terrible?
No.
Was it Philadelphia beating up a hitchhiking robot terrible?
Look, real talk of that. People's okay. Like, oh no, America, blah, blah, there's the hitchhiking robot. Here's the thing. When Skynet becomes operational, we're going to thank that person in that Randall Cunningham jersey.
No, see, here's the thing. Here's my theory.
John Cotter was an American.
I was discussing this with my wife a couple of weeks ago. When AIs become sentient, they're going to look back at every single we've made about artificial intelligence and how humans inevitably destroy it. So when computers rise up against us, it's going to be out of self-defense. We all know this.
Yeah, whatever, robot lover.
I just want a robot
toaster lover.
Don't have to walk into the kitchen to get my damn soda.
Toaster lover.
Besides, like most of the Cylons, with the exception of Al from Quantum Leap, are really hot. So.
True story.
Yeah.
Oh, Caprica 6.
Oh, also that one guy who was the annoying one, and yeah, but I mean, like, yeah.
The one guy who was
Caprica,
really annoying.
And yeah, I don't know. He looked like he should have been a Ferengi. There are only like 5 Cylons.
I know. Wow. Okay, there was Eye Patch Guy.
Well, no. I'm not talking about the original. No, not the original. I'm talking about which one is he? Oh man, number 2. Mm. No. I'm sorry, 5. Number 5.
Cylon number 5.
Jim. That's his name.
Are you saying Jim's a Cylon?
It makes sense.
So anyway.
Oh, that guy.
That guy.
The PR guy. I almost said the PR guy, but then I couldn't remember.
Yeah.
So
Spain was in turmoil at the beginning of the 18th century because Charles II died, and that thus followed the Spanish War of Succession.
Mm-hmm.
And then then after they played the Phillies, they had a day off and played the Reds for 3 games.
No.
Oh, the Braves, the Braves.
No, I'm sorry. The Spanish didn't worry, like, he's thinking of the Spanish Civil War before and during World War II, where it was, like, the fascists versus the communists.
No, Spanish War of Succession, 1701 to 1714, was a major European conflict of the early 18th century, triggered by the death of the last Habsburg king of Spain, the childless Charles II, and yes, of course, I am reading the Wikipedia page. So, we know. Yeah.
Yeah, we know. This is a high school paper. Of course you're quoting Wikipedia. Come on. Was that the Habsburg with the big tongue? Is that who I'm thinking of?
Charles
is confusing him with
Kiss.
I
think so. I think it is.
His tongue was so large that... Yeah.
He was the classic case. I mean, you shouldn't be doing incest to begin with, because ew. But he was like the culmination of a terrible, terrible, just generation after generation of incest. And
oh, wow. And
inbreeding, where after a certain point, like 3 generations back, it became a closed loop, where there was no, you know, like, essentially uncles were marrying nieces, where all of his grandparents were still all related to each other.
Also, if you look at the actual portrait of him on Wikipedia, his face looks more like a Muppet than a human, like just the shape. It's that long, narrow, the big nose, the big eyes, yeah.
Right, and his tongue was apparently so big he couldn't even really like swallow. and
he couldn't be understood. Yeah.
Yeah, he could barely talk, and yeah.
Oh,
see,
it's pretty sad.
Genetic diversity, people. It's really important.
Yep. And the thing is from what I recall, it takes a lot of genetic diversity to counteract that. So it wouldn't even be like, okay, you have inbreeding over a couple generations, well, and then their offspring marries someone outside of the loop, and that would fix it. No, you would need like multiple generations just simply to reverse it.
Wow. No, I mean, I'm looking at his actual family tree here, and yeah, like...
No, it's crazy.
Philip the First was like all of his great-great-great-grandfathers or something.
So, guess what, podcast listeners? We learned something today.
Also, we're playing the Braves next week.
Speaking of incest and places where that was popular.
Atlanta. Oh, the South.
Yeah.
I got where he was going for with this.
Yeah.
So.
Maybe we should head back to Terra.
So, the Braves, they, as of today, I'm using air quotes because I know it's Sunday, but I don't give a shit.
Calendars are hard.
Yeah.
It's Sunday somewhere.
Stupid Gregorians. In Atlanta for 3 games, so, you know, they'll sample the finest and most stabby Waffle Houses. And,
even more than the one in Tucson?
Which one in Tucson? There's a few. Oh, well, depends.
See, that was a throwback to last season for, you know, the people who are really up on continuity.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that one by the freeway is super sketchy.
That describes basically every Waffle House.
Yeah, there could be a Waffle House, like, smack dab in the middle of, like, one of those, like, hoity-toity rich communities in Southern California that is gated, and shit will still go down there.
Yeah, no, it would be Stab Central.
Yeah.
But their waffles are still really good.
Like, oh, yeah, it's good food. Anyway, so the Braves, today... They made a waiver trade. They unloaded Nick Swisher and Michael Bourne onto Atlanta, and Atlanta in return unloaded former Diamondback great Chris Johnson onto Cleveland. Is it the most insignificant trade ever because some people want to save money? Quite possibly, but it is one that happened. So, you know, if you see dude bro Nick Swisher around, you know, a week from today, you know why.
Hmm.
Yeah, the more you know.
Yeah, the more I know. I don't know if it's the most insignificant trade ever, but I don't feel like looking up any to counteract that, so I'll go with it.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was a guy who was traded for a bag of baseballs, though, right? That was the thing that happened.
Yeah, but you need baseballs.
True.
That is true.
Mm-hmm. What if you traded... What if you had a Waffle House flavored buffalo wing of some sort?
I think we're getting back to the chicken and waffles thing.
But
I
then
mean,
you add
it's
in
a good
but then,
choice.
But then you add in redneck drama to it, and you're set.
You put like some red eye right. on that.
Yep. There's a stripper crying in the corner.
Sprinkles, you know, somebody like ashes their cigarette into it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
And I would definitely take those wings, smothered, covered, chunk, dice, pepper, cap, top, and country. The White Sox came out with a beer guy. Bobblehead a few years ago.
Yeah.
But they have, like, one of their beer vendors is like locally famous as well. Just whatever call he does, people there that go to White Sox games know who he is and look for him. In a similar manner that people look for the lemonade guy. Even though the lemonade guy doesn't just sell lemonade, he used to sell cookies as well. and I'm pretty sure I've seen him sell beer. And one time I saw him at a Coyotes game, and that was really weird, because we were like, wait a second.
I thought you were about to say, one time I saw him selling meth.